Have you got a minute? That's a question I hear with some regularity, and probably you do too. Someone wants to talk about something. Have you got a minute? I suppose the most honest answer that any of us can give to that question is, sure do, I have 1,440 of them today. This week, 10,080. Have you ever actually thought about that? No matter who you are, we all get allotted exactly the same amount of time every day, every week, every year. You can't bargain for more. You don't get 1 second less than any other person who ever lived. Now, we don't know the total number that we'll be getting, but we know how much we're going to get every day we're alive. It's been pointed out that this is something akin to manna. You'll remember that portion of the story of the Hebrew people. They've been taken by God out of slavery in Egypt. They now find themselves in the wilderness on their long journey to the promised land. And God cares for them by feeding them daily with some special food called manna. They'd find it delivered to them every day, and they would consume it on that same day. Curiously, it could not be stored except for the Sabbath. Seemed like there was just always enough manna if you trusted God, because God had assured them that they would have enough. I think time's a bit like that. You can't really bank it, but you get a fresh batch every day. What we do have is a choice of how we make use of it daily, hourly, minute by minute. Now, we are in the midst of thinking about the practices of a growing follower of Jesus, what it is that Christians do. And last week, we thought about our use of spiritual gifts. And prior to that, we thought about things like Bible reading and prayer and more. And now today, our subject is about how we offer our time to God. And as someone who just last week publicly noted that the spiritual gift of administration organization isn't exactly a high score on my spiritual gifts inventory, I think it's fair to say that this question of how we manage our time, how I manage my time, it's one of those areas of my life that's rather lively. Time really is an issue of management, because it's not like any one of us gets more than the other in a day. We all get 1,440 minutes every day, no more, no less. So what do we do with them? This is a most important issue for Jesus' people. How do we steward? How do we manage our time? I probably should rephrase that. Remembering once again Jesus' response to the question about which was the greatest commandment, and that's we're to love God and to love our neighbor, then our question as disciples, as followers of Jesus, is how do we use our time to love God and to love others? Time is a really big deal for believers. In no small part because we're confronted by issues related to time, actually throughout the biblical story. This one's commonly read at funerals when our awareness of time tends to be a bit more acute. But that famous Ecclesiastes 3 passage reminds us that there's a season for everything, you know. Time for every matter under heaven. Time to be born, time to die, time to plant, time to pluck up what is planted, time to kill, time to heal, and so on. Or in the New Testament, we read that no less famous gospel passage in Matthew 25, the parable of the Last Judgment, where Jesus reveals that how we use our time in relation to those in need is of some consequence. So time is a most precious gift, and it's not something to be squandered. I was thinking about this the other day while I was out cycling. I think about lots of stuff as I pedal. It is the most valuable use of my time. I was thinking about my kids. I was thinking, have I spent enough time with them as they've grown up? And so I was thinking about soccer sidelines and school trips and family holidays and just hanging out with them over the years. And you know, my answer was no. I haven't spent enough time with my children. And then I realized that I haven't spent enough time with Tevis, my wife, or with my dad, or really with anyone who's precious to me. And I say that in the realization that there's always a sense of not enough time with any of those people, which I suppose is really a reflection of the immense value of time that we have, and the immense value of those people in my life. How can you spend enough time with someone you love? It's so precious. And so it's, have I used it well? I think you hear that awareness in our psalm reading today, Psalm 39. Starting at verse 4. Lord, let me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a few handbreadths and my lifetime is as nothing in your sight. Surely everyone stands as a mere breath. Surely everyone goes about like a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. They heap up and do not know who will gather. That psalm is attributed to David, and you can hear kind of a wistfulness in his voice, an awareness, kind of a sad awareness of the speed at which life passes. There's a sense of our inherent frailty there. But in spite of the uncertainty expressed in those words, he then says, but now, O Lord, what do I wait for? And then he answers his question, my hope is in you. In the face of the reality of being time-bound, David still remains hopeful in God, asserts his trust in God. So how are we to use our allotted time then? That's ultimately the question we're trying to answer this morning. And that brings me to our reading from the third chapter of the letter to the Colossians. This is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in Colossae, which is a church community in what's present-day Turkey. And in this particular portion of the letter, Paul's giving some instruction as to what the Christian life looks like. In other words, we're not the first and surely not the last church to spend some trying to understand just what it is that Christians do. And in particular, Paul's wanting them to understand what life looks like, not just individually, but what it looks like in Christian community. And it's a rich, rich text, as Elva noted in the prayers. There's material enough in the verses that we heard for dozens of sermons. But I'd like to draw your attention to the concluding verse in our reading today. That's verse 17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do in word or deed. That doesn't exactly leave a lot of room for much else, does it? It kind of takes everything. This is one of those simple little lines that points to a remarkable shift in priorities, challenges us, I think, profoundly. Whatever you do. Back in Matthew 6, Jesus tells his friends, and tells us, to seek first the kingdom of God. And here we are being reminded again that his call on our lives isn't just for a few hours a week, but it's a consuming thing. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus. How do you live like that? How do you do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus in your allotted 1,440 minutes a day? How do we give God our time? The English word time gets used some 206 times. On 206 occasions in the version of the New Testament that I most commonly use. I use the New Revised Standard Version. And despite the fact that I get paid at an annual rate, not an hourly one, I decided to look them all up. Took time, right? I discovered that there are 8 different words translated as time from the original language of the New Testament Greek into English. I discovered that 3 of them were most often used. The first being hemera, which can mean like in the daytime or in that time or in her day, that kind of use. But the 2 most commonly used words translated as time were chronos and kairos. Now chronos, the word suggests this to our ears, of course, is about chronological time, about sequential time. When you're talking chronos, you're talking about a particular period of seconds or minutes or hours. So you have 1,440 chronos minutes in a day. Kairos, on the other hand, is a slightly different meaning for time. It's about a moment. Kairos is about the right time. It's about an opportune time. Opportunity. Kairos is the time when you get to take your shot. When you look closely at, say, the temptation story, for example, we read that the devil departed Jesus in the wilderness, having failed miserably in tempting him. And Luke tells him that he left looking for, yes, an opportune time, looking for a kairos moment. Didn't really work out for Satan, but there you go. Kairos moments can sometimes be moments of crisis, when matters are brought to a head. And so they're important times. And in our context today, they're God moments. Moments when we will be able to use our time in some ways that advance the kingdom of God. And when you stop to think about those 2 words, those 2 related but different understandings of the notion of time, you can see that we have a fixed amount of chronos time. We only have 1,440 minutes in a day. But you can see we have even less kairos moments of time. And we might easily miss them amidst all of our usually packed chronos time. Our task is to note those kairos moments and then to seize them. And I suspect we best see those moments when we do a couple of things. You'll remember from a few weeks ago we thought together about our practice of surrender, of giving God priority in our lives, not just believing in Jesus, but actually following Jesus, which in 9 out of 10 times, I think, seems to involve our loving our neighbor in some way. God seems to like it when we do that. And interestingly, kairos moments often occur when we serve. Thank you, Jan. When we invest our time in others. So we give God our time and service, knowing that we're doing it out of love for the one who gave everything for us. And as so many of you already know better than I ever will, it's amazing how much energy you get for that task. You'll also remember that on our last Sunday service in April, we considered the place of prayer in the life of a Jesus follower, and we entertained the possibility that you could actually pray without ceasing, as Paul instructed. And so we simply go through the day having this kind of conversation with God, listening, talking, turning over what's going on and in and around you to God. That's actually surprisingly doable when you start to think about it. Good many of you have told me how you do it. And we get to do it in all sorts of places. Our key verse today, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's connected to this. So you're at work, you're at a meeting, you're with a group of volunteers, you're visiting with friends. By simply being prayerfully aware of the others in the room and trying to build them up, you are actually offering God the gift of your time. I think that's the way Jesus lived, at least as best as I can tell. Like the rest of us, he lived fully in the same chronos time that you and I live. But because he chose to live in conversation with the one he referred to so intimately and lovingly in Mark 14 as Abba Father, because he made that prayerful relationship a central feature of how he used his time, he was able to recognize the Kairos moments. And so you see him throughout the Gospels, through each of the four Gospels, shifting speed and shifting focus constantly. There are times when he was just on the move, he was traveling and changing direction. He was always seeming to be in motion, announcing over and over the arrival of the kingdom of God. You just read through Mark's Gospel. It is absolutely exhausting, the pace he keeps. But then he would just stop. He'd stop for that Kairos moment when there would be, it's like some hinge time, when a particular life would require some very, very specific attention. And like the woman at the well, or Zacchaeus, or the woman with the hemorrhage. And this is kind of cool because he stopped on the way to be with the woman with the hemorrhage because he was actually involved in another Kairos encounter with Jairus' daughter. There was Nicodemus at night and blind Bartimaeus and a rich young man and Peter at a beach barbecue. There's so many more. Jesus embraced, he seized those Kairos times, those Kairos moments. And you will too. So again, how do you do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus in your allotted 1,440 minutes a day? I cannot offer you too many tips for your sleeping time. You're on your own on that one. But in our waking minutes, well, I think these are things that are true. We all have the same amount of time, and we all have the time we need to accomplish what God's calling us to be about. I make that statement because it doesn't sound much like God to call us to do something that God knows we can't do. Right? That would be cruel. And our God loves us. He wouldn't do that to us. Therefore, if we find ourselves overwhelmed, it's probably because we're not focused on the right things, or we're doing them in some way that's a bit inefficient. So, here are some tips on how we might each use our time in a way that honors God. And do know, as is pretty much standard here, every Sunday morning, I'm preaching at me as I'm preaching at anybody. These are my tips for me too. But these are things that I've learned to be pretty trustworthy guides, not just in my role as a pastor, but in my personal daily stumbling along as I try to walk with Jesus. First of all, saying no isn't necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes saying no is absolutely the right thing. That's a toughie, isn't it? First of all, saying no is sometimes the right thing. Secondly, and this isn't unrelated, not everything's important. A wise minister once suggested to me that there were actually very few pastoral emergencies. And I've come to realize that he's right. Now, what we clergy sometimes name as emergencies are often means of either avoiding more important tasks or ways of convincing ourselves and those around us that we're really important. Heck, even in my RN years, working in very busy emergency departments, we usually had a surprising amount of time to do the things that truly mattered when lives were really on the line. We had time. And so we have enough time for the really important things. You just have to know what's important. Third, it actually helps to have a plan for your time. And if you don't have a plan, be assured that others will. They'll use your time really, really well. Which I dare to say isn't much of a plan, is it? So have a plan. Fourth, having formulated a plan, take it to God. Or better than that, and save a step. Before you plan, Ask God how He'd want you to use your time. God will sort out priorities for us. Fifth, ask Adele. How's that work, Rich? Obviously, I'm kidding here. For those of you who might be visiting today, know that Adele's our church secretary. She's a trusted colleague, as is Diane. And it's not unusual for me to be checking with Diane or Adele about, and some others about my use of time. There's sometimes a place for input from other mature believers in sorting through one's chronos. So just have a plan to share with them before you take it to them. Sixth, expect interruption. Perhaps even budget time for interruption. But please do expect it. This is really, really important. You see, your interruption may be the most important thing to happen to you. The interruption is usually the kairos moment. And you might not even know it till after the fact. Another wise minister once said to me, never book more than 60% of your time. The rest will all fill in. He underestimated. Finally, don't be afraid to wait. Action isn't always required. One of the great lies we tell ourselves is that we have to do something. No, sometimes we just need to wait. In fact, plan for some quiet spots in your time. Wisdom is found in knowing when to act and when to wait. And a prayerful person will know. When we give God primacy in our lives, it follows that all time is God's time. And God gives time to you and to me. And the question is, as disciples of Jesus Christ, what are we going to be using? How are we going to be using that gift of time? You've given me more than a minute. That's probably enough this morning. So let's pray. God, we thank you for this gift of time that you've bestowed upon us. It's a gift we sometimes take for granted, and so we consciously offer it back to you this morning. God, redeem our time. Grant us fresh wisdom to rededicate its use to you and for your purposes. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.